the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of Global Gaming Business, and this week we speak with Matt Levinson, the chairman of the New Jersey Casino Control Commission, on what's been happening since he took over and how the commission is going to handle the online gaming regulation in the state. Television, North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe. Matt Levinson was named chairman of the New Jersey Casino Control Commission in August 2012. A resident of Atlantic County, Levinson oversees the licensing arm of the state regulatory agency, a change that was made in 2012 under the administration of Governor Chris Christie that shifted all the investigative responsibility to the state's Division of Gaming Enforcement. Levinson took over at a critical time in the history of the Atlantic City casino industry and will decide on licenses for companies that will operate under the recently authorized online gaming bill. He spoke with me at his offices in Atlantic City in April. Matt Levinson, thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. It's great to meet you finally. As I mentioned before, I know your father, and I know a lot of the people you've worked with in the past, so I thought you were a great choice when they picked you.
Thank you very much for interviewing me. It's an honor, and I'm excited to get started.
Great. I don't think I've spoken with anybody at the commission since the regulatory reform has gone through. So let's start by outlining the duties of the commission versus the DGE right now and how that works.
Sure. The commission, a lot of the day-to-day activities and duties of the commission has moved to the division. Mm-hmm. So all the everything that was basically being done is still being done.
Right.
It was just kind of switched over.
Right.
The commission is still deals with the casino licensing, the key license, temporary license. Mm-hmm. We still deal with the licensing of the actual casinos, the interim casino license, we deal with regulatory affairs. We also have a department that does a lot of gaming research.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of like I said, the duties that were the day-to-day moved to the division, but the Casino Control Commission still has the overall authority in the licensing.
Okay. So it's more of a fair comparison now with Nevada, where you got the gaming board that does most of the things, and the gaming commission actually issues a license.
Yes.
Okay, great. Now, you've had a reduction in size in the staff, obviously, because, mm-hmm. you know, all that. But most of those people just shifted over to the division, is that true?
Well, this was, yes, but it was before my time. A portion of them shifted, a portion of them retired, and there was some layoffs, but not a lot.
Okay.
As of right now, we have three commissioners.
Right.
There was five.
Mm-hmm.
We're a very good, well-oiled machine, and we're working well. So.
Okay, great. Well, yeah, you know, I like the fact also that you're an Atlantic County resident, Atlantic County native. That's kind of rare in the history of the commission. Most of the commissioners have been from elsewhere in the state, not all of them, but most of them. So you feel that gives you a special connection to gaming here in Atlantic City?
It does, and it gives me a connection with Atlantic City as a whole. I've worked in Atlantic City. I've worked in the casino industry. I did move away for a while into Philadelphia, but I came back because I wanted to be here.
Okay.
I love this town, and I'm here to really support the industry.
Mm-hmm. Great. Now, you took over at a pretty turbulent time. You know, gross revenues have been declining for the last 7 years and continue to do so. Is there anything that the commission can do to help, arrest that development at this point?
Well, as a commission, the role is pretty limited. But with Governor Christie and the legislature, they really put in a lot of things with S-11, S-12, the new tourism district. Myself being the head of the commission, dealing with the head of the CRDA and the Lights of Carmel, the ACA, and the task force. It's we are one team, and we're working together to show people that Atlantic City's here, Atlantic City's ready. Come visit Atlantic City, and really get the word out there.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as what the casinos can do with the gaming revenue, we're pretty limited.
Okay. But now, as chairman of the commission, though, you still have a board seat on the CRDA, correct?
Correct. I am a board member of the CRDA, and a position that I really take very seriously.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Obviously, Atlantic City has tried to reposition itself, you know, with the gaming in all the surrounding jurisdictions, and then the competition that's closer by. You know, people that used to be our market now have casinos closer to them. So obviously, non-gaming revenue becomes a real crucial part of the overall picture here. How is the commission starting to evaluate that kind of development here in Atlantic City?
We're actually starting to, which is a good thing. We're taking a real look at the non-gaming numbers.
Right.
We're taking a look at things we've really never looked at before. It's interesting when the casinos come out with their non-gaming revenue.
Right.
I think almost 45% of the venues now are third-party venues.
Mm-hmm.
So that percentage and that revenue is not even in those numbers.
Right.
So we're missing a huge portion of the market in non-gaming. Mm-hmm. And just to get it out there to say that, you know, Atlantic City is alive. People are coming.
Right.
Gaming revenue is on decline. We understand that.
Right.
The competition is tough and the economy is not so great.
Mm-hmm.
But people are coming down, still coming down, and it's becoming more of a destination resort. Mm-hmm. People are coming; they want to spend money. They have $100; they're just not spending. They're not spending 90 of it at the tables, and now maybe spending 40, and the 60 is going in the shops mm-hmm. or the restaurants.
Right.
And there's tons of them.
Sure. There's the visitation to Atlantic City. I was surprised to see. You know, hasn't really declined that much.
It hasn't. Some of our hopes here is that this becomes a destination resort.
Mm-hmm.
We want people to be coming and staying more than just the day trippers, because we've lost that convenient gambler.
Sure.
So we need to do a lot of things to make people want to stay and mm-hmm. come back.
Right.
And we're going in that direction with the ACA of Liza Cartmell and the marketing campaign that she's putting together
mm-hmm.
With the task force and Gilbert at the Clean and Safe Initiative. Things are really working, and people, when they come, are seeing that. And it shows in the non-gaming revenue. It shows in the luxury tax increases. It shows in the sales tax of Atlantic City's increase.
Right.
Things that have been increasing.
Mm-hmm.
Parking revenue last year was going up also.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-Sandy.
Right. Yeah. Now, I find it interesting that even though Atlantic City's in a bad place in terms of revenue, it hasn't kept other companies from being interested in Atlantic City. We see the Poker Stars, you know, potential purchase of Atlantic Club. We see, you know, all the transactions that have gone on, the Golden Nugget now at the old Trump Arena and things of that nature. Why do you think, you know, the interest in Atlantic City has not decreased yet, even though revenues are decreasing?
Because I really don't think it's that bad.
Yeah.
And you really, what you do is you follow the money, and people
mm-hmm.
want to invest. They understand that there is still money to be made in Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm.
There's opportunities here.
Right.
A lot of it, there's still gaming revenue, and that still keeps the lights on in these houses. But non-gaming attractions and non-gaming amenities are very busy.
Right.
The Walk, which is our outlet stores in Atlantic City, there has never been 7 days a week. It's busy.
Right.
Even if it's raining out, mm-hmm. you see people walking up and down that street.
Yeah.
So if people come and invest and they bring in the right product, it works.
Yeah.
And if you look at the non-gaming revenue and you look at the third-party transactions, it's working.
Mm-hmm. Now, some of the attractions that are coming in, where we got the Margaritaville project at resorts. I just walked by that the other day, and it just looks beautiful. I can't wait to sit out on the veranda there in the summertime and watch the waves roll in. This marketplace that they want to build at the Walk, or the CRDA wants to build the Reading Terminal type of thing. I think that's a great idea as well. Are these the type of things that Atlantic City is going to need to move forward?
Yes. And we are moving in that direction with Margaritaville coming, which I can't wait to sit on there also.
Right.
It looks like it's on schedule.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great thing for Atlantic City. It's a great thing for resorts. It's a great thing for that side of the boardwalk.
Mm-hmm.
With the new meeting center coming in for Harris,
right?
The Reading Lake Terminal that's mm-hmm. going to be coming a little bit. It's connected to the Walk in some sense, but not exactly on the Walk. And then the art districts that we're putting in. We're putting
right.
in an art district where the lower level of the Wave Garage is going to be turned into this this area for artists to come and show their work. Mm-hmm. We have the old Pinnacle site. We have California Avenue with these art displays. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a very it brings people here. Right. It's something that they can't see anywhere else. You can't find that in Pennsylvania, all in one area like we have right now. Okay. So it's going to be very exciting, especially with Bass Pro Shop coming, which is a attraction in itself.
It is.
You know, being able to have that type of business in the center of Atlantic City, right off the expressway, mm-hmm. Having that company with the marketing that they would have to show that they're there, it's going to be pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. I used to live near the one they have in Las Vegas, which is attached to a casino, and that gets as much traffic as the casino.
It's unbelievable. And I hunt and fish, and I'm I like the outdoors, and I drive almost 2 hours to go to Cabela's. Yeah. So I understood, and I'm probably one of the most excited people on the board of the CRDA when I knew the Bass Pro Shop was coming.
Now, you mentioned Hurricane Sandy before. It certainly was devastating, especially the way Atlantic City was starting to rebound, and you know, that really, really hurt us. In terms of perception, though, the actual damage to Atlantic City was very minimal, but the perception continues in our feeder markets that mm-hmm. Atlantic City was really hurt by the storm. Is the CCC able to do anything to really alleviate that perception?
Well, it's number one is talking to people like you, mm-hmm. talking to many people we can them know that the boardwalk's here, the casinos are here, you know, the businesses in Atlantic City, casino oriented, were not affected.
Right.
Of course, there were some with some minor damage. There was one with a lot of water in their basement, mm-hmm. but nothing that they couldn't do everyday operations, and they've showed that they could once the Barrier Islands were open.
Right.
The 9 months going into Sandy, as you were stating, even gaming revenue now might have been up from last year, but it was the percentage was not that bad.
Right.
And the non-gaming and the parking and everything else was really on a nice little incline up.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very positive showing of the first 9 months of where we're heading and what I think is for 2013.
Right.
But you know what we can do is what Eliza Cartmell is doing at the ACA. A lot of their money for marketing basically stopped from marketing Atlantic City just to marketing and saying that we're open. The boardwalk's here.
Mm-hmm.
I think now that they've gotten that out a little more, because right after Sandy, I think they did a poll. I think 45% of people in the Northeast didn't think the boardwalk was here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, people think that the roller coaster and the Steel Pier was out in the water.
Right.
It was 60 miles north.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you know, when I came in on the Tuesday morning, I had to get the escort in because you couldn't get into the Barrier Island. It was really sealed off. I was expecting the worst, especially after I saw Al Roker, you know, standing in the South Inlet saying that the boardwalk was destroyed, standing on a pile of wood that basically the boardwalk was destroyed in the 90s from another storm.
Right.
And when I got here, I was surprised. This office on the boardwalk had power.
Yeah.
So I was just amazed. It went out on Wednesday, but we did have power on Tuesday. I was just amazed that the casinos held up.
Right.
One of the casinos, you know, it the basement filled with the water, but that's, you know, that's what's going to happen. Like a basement next to the ocean, but they're there. They're open. They're ready to go. And if it wasn't for the Barrier Island closure and some, you know, them testing the water to make sure the water quality is fine, they could have been open the next day.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And we just have to get that word out that you know, things are back to normal and have been for quite.
I think the full page ad by the ACA and the New York Times, saying that this is the date February. I think to forget the date they put after the storm with the boardwalk and the people walking up and down it helped.
Yeah.
But again, the other issue they have is the feeder people that we have were destroyed.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people that would be coming here in the regions that we deal with were in. It was terrible.
Right.
You know, Langston is very lucky. Sure. We're lucky we weren't north because north got crushed, and we were very lucky, and we definitely feel for our brothers in the north.
Yeah, I mean we're lucky that at the last minute the eye came right over Atlantic City.
It was unbelievable.
South of Atlantic City.
I think we're right over Brigantine, your old home.
Exactly right. You know, for the first 20 years of the commission, you know, it was just the regulatory agency. But then I guess it was when Persky came on and he decided to go up to Wall Street and talk to the investors about Atlantic City, how the commission was changing with the times, and all the chair people following him have done the same thing. Is that part of your agenda as well?
It is. I definitely see myself as a cheerleader of all of Atlantic City. Mm-hmm. The people that I can talk to, I do, and I try to do as much as I can, mm-hmm. just to show them that the regulatory process that we have here, some of the changes that were made, and that it's a place that you can get into this industry a lot less than other industries that you have. The tax rate's a lot mm-hmm. less, and just getting that out there so that Wall Street and other investors know this is a huge positive for Atlantic City.
Right. Great. It's also a very exciting time for the Atlantic City industry because of the passage of online gaming. Being one of the first states to get into that market, I think, is really groundbreaking, a possibility for the Atlantic City casinos and also for the state of New Jersey. As that passed, I think you guys were very much involved in the process of assuring the governor that it could be regulated, could be controlled, and now there's a process of writing the regulations. How is that going?
Well, as far as writing the regulations, I am in discussions with the director of Gaming Enforcement, mm-hmm. David right. Rebuck. His team is doing the regulatory process. The mm-hmm. CCC really doesn't have the everyday input of doing the regulations, but myself speaking with the director and mm-hmm. and they're working on it, and right. and it should be done shortly.
Mm-hmm. Are they considering regulatory structures and that kind of thing that you see in Europe when they were writing this up?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what the comparison to what mm-hmm. Europe would be. But they are. It's pretty until they're done and it's complete. That's when people will see it.
Okay, great. Now, I don't want to specifically talk about the PokerStars licensing issue because I understand you can't talk
it's
about that.
It's an ongoing, yes.
But I would like to just talk about this issue in general. The legalization in New Jersey didn't have the bad actor clause, which some of the other states had. I know Nevada has it, which prohibits states, companies that were taking bets after the passage of the UIGA bill in 2006 mm-hmm. From participating in those regions for a certain amount of time. Some it's five, some it's 10 years. But there's nothing in the New Jersey law that prohibits these companies from coming in. So what are you going to look at when you're looking at licensing these companies and noting, of course, that they did get indicted. Now they all settled. Anybody who has applied at this mm-hmm. point have settled with the Justice Department. No convictions, even no finding of guilt. So how is that going to play into what your licensing issues are going to be?
Right. The commission is still going to deal with everything with the highest integrity that in the country. Mm-hmm. We are the model of this, and we're going to continue being that. Mm-hmm. We are going to look at this, any company coming in the same way we look at every company coming in, and weighing everything that's in front of us mm-hmm. and everything that's in their past and in their future. So we look at integrity as number one.
Mm-hmm. Will you take testimony from some of the other companies that object to this? We know that the American Gaming Association, wants to intervene in the investigation, and that hasn't been decided at this point. But are you going to allow other companies to come in and testify during the licensing hearing?
As far as right now, we don't have anybody else on the plate that would want to. So I would everything is looked at individually mm-hmm. and on the merits and figuring out if something is valid or not valid.
Okay, great. So you are confident then that state regulators in New Jersey will be able to oversee online gaming and sustain the high integrity that New Jersey has always been known for?
I am 110% confident that the commission and the Division of Gaming Enforcement will enact all the regulatory process and be able to control online gaming and deal with any issues that would arise or come up. And both organizations have a very have great staff, and a lot of research is being done, and it can be, and it's going to be accomplished.
Okay, so you're comfortable with the legal decision that the bets are actually being made in Atlantic City on the servers in Atlantic City, where the only place in New Jersey where gaming is legal.
They have to be in Atlantic City,
right.
And there's geo mapping.
Right, sure.
That if I'm hoping that if somebody's straddling a line between New Jersey and Pennsylvania, we can catch that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be putting every everything we could possibly put in there to allow us to know that the integrity of this law and the gaming is intact.
Okay. Well, I can assure you that works. I live in Nevada most of the year, and I have these sports betting apps on my phone where you're allowed to bet on your phone. And I live in Boulder City, which is by the border in Nevada. So two of the apps won't work because I'm too close to the border. I'm only about two miles from the border. And so they err.
Well, that's the geo system that we're using then.
But the other one is so good, however, that if I go down to the bridge that crosses in Arizona above the dam, I can sit on one side and make a bet. And I go on the other side, it doesn't
that's why we have to make sure it's right, because people like you will exactly be testing right. that.
Now, we had a state senator out of New York over the weekend question whether there's going to be able to have some sort of technology where a New York bettor can go online in a New Jersey some sort of spoofing scheme where they could kind of fool the geolocation that he's making a bet in New Jersey. Are you confident that you're actually going to be able to tackle those kind of technology issues?
Well, I can't really speak on that because I did not see that. Right, okay. But again, I do believe that the regulatory process and the safeguards that we are going to have mm-hmm. are going to be better than anyone else's, and we will be able to catch those.
Great. Well, Matt Levinson, thanks for the time. We really appreciate it. It's a really exciting time for the industry, and I think they got the right guy overseeing it here.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Congratulations, and we're looking forward to some of your decisions.
Thank you very much. It's very nice to meet you.
Thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. If you want to learn more about the issues discussed today or anything about the gaming industry, visit our website at ggbmagazine.com. For weekly updates on the industry, subscribe to GGB News, the only weekly e-news magazine dedicated to the breaking news of the gaming business. To see a sample issue, visit ggbnews.com. That's it for today. Hope you enjoyed the interview, and we'll see you next week on the Global Gaming Business Podcast.